Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
More of the guys, Ken and Curtis. The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
The NHL playoffs begin tonight. Curtis, I know you are fired up. You and I are going to be at Stats in Southie for VV Day, my victory over the virus.
Huge.
2 weeks after my vaccine. And we got a bunch of people coming out. And as you've been reporting, things may look up on that front coming up on Monday if Governor Baker does go 100% capacity by Memorial Day. But to start this series, which we'll be watching the Bruins Caps tonight, Game 1 down at Capital One Arena. Limited crowd, both at the Garden and down there. And I think it'll be building up. The question is... are these two teams, is this going to be a long, drawn-out series? Fourth time they're meeting. The last time they played in 2012, epic seven-gamer, went to overtime. Every game in the series decided by one goal. I think that was for the first time in NHL history. So these two teams know each other well, and I know you're not the biggest hockey fan, but this is setting up to be a pretty good one.
Oh, couldn't have asked for a better first-round series.
And Joe Beninati is the voice of the Capitals, longtime voice on NBCS in Washington. He's kind enough to hop on here to preview the series a little bit. Hi, Joe.
Ken, Chris, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. First of all, health update. I see TJ Oshie on the ice this morning. Is that what you're hearing as well?
I am hearing that, and I'm hearing him in a center ice position, which TJ has done a time or two during the season. It's a Washington team that's had to overcome a lot of adversity, whether it be injury-wise or COVID-19 protocol absences. And TJ has seen some time at center ice. I was surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised to see him available just for game one. And then, oddly enough, to see him down the middle. Again, he has the smarts to play that spot. He knows what's required. And I see him on a line with Tom Wilson and Daniel Sprong. So there's an interesting mix there. Of speed and a little bit of a bloodhound.
Joe, what has Chara been like down in D.C.? I've seen that the number he's been playing a lot. You know, I think it was around 19 minutes a game I saw for the regular season. Obviously, he left here, and it seemed like a pretty interesting decision by Don Sweeney, given the amount of money that Chara left for. It sort of left for an opportunity, not really for money. How has he fit in with that club and the dressing room down there?
I can't say enough good things about him, Curtis. I really can't. He's come to town and not been asked to do too much. And I know Boston wanted him to take a reduced role. And in a way, in a sense, this is a reduced role to compare to what he had done during the height of his powers in Boston. But he's embraced everything that's been tossed at him on the ice from a responsibility standpoint. And he's been, as I'm sure all Bruins fans would imagine, he's been phenomenal off the ice. In the dressing room, from what I'm told, the teammates gravitate toward him. You know, he has that gravitas about him, and he has made a point that he's here to try and help in any way possible. And I'm sure he's been a sounding board for guys in the room. I'm sure he's offered expert advice. And now when it comes time to a Stanley Cup playoff run, where obviously he's very well versed, I know the team is going to lean upon him. He's done really, really well. He's clicked with Nick Jensen in a third defensive pair role. He's helped improve Jensen's game on the ice. Nick has amazing skating speed and quickness, and that helps Z, obviously, at age 44, is not as spry as he used to be and doesn't cover as much ground as he used to. But he and Jensen work so well together as a tandem. I don't think Kevin McCarthy, the defensive coordinator, assistant coach for the Caps, has had to alter them or adjust them in months. He's been really, really solid.
How about Ovechkin? We've seen he missed a few games down the stretch, Joe. Obviously, he's not a young guy anymore at 35, but still a lot of production this year. Obviously, a threat. Where's his game right now?
A few weeks ago, Ken, when it happened on Long Island against the Islanders at Nassau Coliseum, and the way he pulled out of a skating stride and reached toward his leg, it was, for me, a really, really scary moment, because those types of injuries at that time of the year, you sit there and you go, The one thing that I can say, many things I can say about Ovechkin through the course of 16 years in the NHL, is he plays through pain. He can play through nagging ailments better than almost anybody that I can imagine. He's at any point in time, you could say there are three or four places on his body that are ailing, but you wouldn't know it. He just plays at such a superhuman level at times. I was pleasantly surprised that last game of the season, the meaningless one, where Boston dressed a lot of its American Hockey League player roster, Alex skated over 20 minutes and looked like he had a very comfortable stride. So all in all, I would expect from the injury standpoint, he's feeling good. And, he's missed, what was it? I think it was 7 of the last 8 prior to that game. I would imagine they were being especially cautious at this time of the year. He means so much to the power play, which is ruthlessly effective, especially at home. He's been a solid contributor 5-on-5 this year. He hasn't just been a power play guy out there looking for his cookies, getting all of his goals on the power play. He's been vitally important 5-on-5 to a team that's been number one in the league from a 5-on-5 standpoint in terms of goal-scoring production. He shoots it as well as he always did. That's never going to leave him. I think he's going to be shooting it that way when he's 55. But I know he's looking forward to this. This is the favorite time of the year for all of these guys.
Hey, Joe, obviously a big talking point in Boston, thanks to the dirty hit on Carlo earlier this year, is Tom Wilson. Obviously, recently, the Panarin hit in the Rangers game got a lot of national attention. What are we missing on this? What? I am not a major hockey fan, but I feel like the league is trying to get rid of players like Tom Wilson, yet it seems as though he is able to just sort of pay his penance and return as if nothing happened.
Well, the league is trying to get rid of players like Tom Wilson. I don't think that's a fair statement. He plays the game like a linebacker on a blitz. He's trying to force the opponent quarterback to throw the ball into a spot that he doesn't want the ball to go. Tom is trying to play the game and force turnovers and create space for his line mates on the ice, and he does so by being a big body who plays the game physically. He's a throwback player. And I will say this about Tom, and I know that this will, people will hear these words and they'll go, oh, this is just Joe being the apologist. Let me say this about Tom, that if Alex Ovechkin were not here, Wilson would be the captain of this team. His teammates gravitate toward him that much. He is the big brother, father figure who is, at times, I will admit, overly protective. He has a way of snapping that he shouldn't have, and maybe it's a in-game anger management type issue. I thought everybody overreacted in New York. I don't know why Tom threw the little rabbit punch, almost love tap to Buchnevich at the bottom of the pile that created everything. After that, why did you do that? Now, if I had the chance in a normal season, I would have asked him, was this some sort of carryover, or was Buchnevich doing something to Vanacek, the goalie, that was out of code, out of line, and he needed to get hit? Because once he threw that short punch to the shoulder side of the head, everybody overreacted. Ryan Strome overreacted. Panarin jumps on his back. Tom overreacts and starts throwing people around like the Incredible Hulk. That can't happen. But he plays the game in such a physical manner and honestly takes pride in throwing hits that are clean. Yes. Has he crossed the line? Has he gone high? Has he hit high? Absolutely. And he's been suspended and fined for it. But this is a player who wants to play the game forearm down, elbow down, shoulder to chest. And he's got to, at times, learn to minimize this. But I'll tell you, fellas, he's a really, really good person. I haven't shared this with very many people. My mom passed away just before Easter. Tom Wilson was the first guy to text me. I didn't even know he had my number. So he went out of his way to get it. This is not the goon that you're thinking he is. And that's all I can say. And yes, his play on the ice may depict something else, But I'm telling you, this is the guy you want. If you're you would want him to be on your team without a doubt. I would imagine every other team in the league wishes they had a player like Tom Wilson.
Where's his mentality right now, Joe? Do you think he's a major factor in this series? Is he, obviously with the reaction of the Rangers and the controversy surrounding it, it was a huge deal. Has he addressed it?
Guys, it can't be easy to be him right now because I think he's in between. He's caught in between. He knows that the league has got a magnifying glass on him. After the hit on Brandon Carlo, when he came back after the 7-game suspension, honestly, Ken and Curtis, I'm going to tell you, there were, 5-6 games in a row where he didn't even throw a hit. And that's totally not Tom Wilson. So if you want Tom Wilson to be Tom Wilson, in his own mind, he's got to say to himself, can I make this play? And you guys know this, professional athletes don't have that much time to think. They have to react, and it's instantaneous at times. And there were a good 4 or 5 games where I would check the box score. Wilson hits 0. Ooh, that's not Tom being Tom. It's not having an impact on the game the way he can.
Well, I would just give a polite advice to Tom Wilson that when he comes to Boston, look out for Jack Edwards because he's going to try and tackle him on the street.
Well, I know Jack has an issue, and he's well within his own to have his opinions. But this is a player who will be impactful on the series. It's just I'm curious what it's like to be Tom Wilson in his own mind right now because there's so much scrutiny heaped upon him. And I'm telling you that I've watched this player work his tail off to become more than just a fourth-line plugger. He's now a vitally important piece of the Caps puzzle on the first two lines, wherever you want to place him. And this is someone the Caps need to do well to be successful. So he has to play within the rules and play within the lines. We know that he crosses lines on occasions. He cannot do that in this series for Washington to be effective.
I know you got to run, Joe. Real quick, how about a key to the series?
Vitek Vanacek. I think Vitek has surpassed a lot of expectations this year, guys. There was at the beginning of the season, Vitek wasn't in the picture. You know, it was supposed to be Ilya Samsonov anointed as the number one, the replacement to Braden Holtby, a goalie who caused Boston so much trouble in the regular season. But it was supposed to be Samsonov and Lundqvist, and Henrik had the health issues, and God bless him, he's doing well. But all of a sudden, Vanacek became your everyday guy. And more than likely, it looks like he's going to be the everyday guy in the Stanley Cup playoffs. How will he perform? He has been very, very good. He's been ordinary and average at times. But I think all in all, people will tell you that he's exceeded expectations. People aren't going to expect very much. In a matchup with Tuukka Rask, they're going to say Bruins have the advantage, and rightfully so. Let's see what Vitek does. If Vitek plays well, Washington has an opportunity to do well.
Thanks for the time, Joe. Enjoy the series. Should be a good one.
Guys, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Joe Beninati, the longtime voice of the Caps and one of the good voices of hockey, and he's on the Harbor One hotline, and obviously a staunch defender of Tom Wilson. The text line is just flooded with, get this guy off the air. I can't believe the love tap was...
My God, I mean, and what the hell...
I like does, Joe, but obviously he's...
What does the fact that he heard about this... I'm very sorry to hear Beninati's mom passed away around Easter. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
But what does Tom Wilson... getting that information from the team sports information guy, texting him, have to do with, you know, Carlo is going to be a father. So, like, you know.
By the way, your intel on Brandon Carlo's kid is, like, unbelievable. Like, that's like your one scoop. You have a great source on Carlo and everything Carlo.
Yeah, I really do. It's amazing. his fiance, sorry. Whatever the hell, teaches in Newton. Anyway. I just totally lost my train of thought.
Wilson is running around like he did earlier in his career.
Yeah.
But I hate that. This is the homerism that I despise. Like, the guy is a goon.
Well, he's not just a goon. I mean, if you want, like, official term, he is a talented player.
Well, that makes
it
even
also,
worse.
He's also a predator.
So he doesn't need to play like that.
Well, he was the reason they won a cup. A lot of people feel like that was the difference. Like, his play to the edge and over... it's a factor in series, and it's one of the and plus his ability to score on top of it makes him really good. I don't doubt there would be teams to pick him up if he got released.
Back years ago,
your question was a good one. Does the league want to get rid of players like this? And their answer is resoundingly no. because they love the drama. I mean, God, he wasn't even suspended for the last stuff.
I just can't stand when people don't state the obvious that's in front of them because of the team they cover.
Right.
And I feel like when Marchand would do things, people around here were pretty critical of him.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't think he was ever in the same ballpark as Tom Wilson when it comes to hurting people.
Not hurting people. I mean, the licking was a little...
No, it was dirty in like a different way. It was clear when people would say, you know, Marchand needs to grow up. I think Cassidy said that himself. He's, you know, I think Dale actually told the story that Cassidy had Marchand over to his house for dinner and was like, what's, you know, you're a top player now, you know, cut the crap out.
Right.
And he has.
And it's a different league even when Sean Thornton was around, that he obviously had the ugly incident with Brooks Orpik where he's bashing his head off the ice and you know, so that's...
I don't know, and tell that to Brandon Carlo, though. Like, you nearly, I mean, knocked him out. That could have been a career-ending hit. With Savard, that ended his career. Like,
could have ended Carlo's career. Right. I mean, at least he got a hefty suspension for that game.
Because he texted you and said, I'm sorry about the passing of your mom?
Yeah.
Like, God in heaven, that is so pathetic.
Well, tonight it'll be a fairly full lineup for the Capitals if Oshie is back, although as Joe Beninati says, he'll be a center, which is a bit different, and the only guy out is Kuznetsov, which is a pretty big player for them.
What?
Evgeny Kuznetsov on COVID list.
Oh, that was Beninati talking about Tom Wilson. Nutsoff.
Oh. Uh-huh. Good one-liner. For the Bruins, projected lines tonight.
Sorry, let's get into the lines. Great.
Okay, forget it.
Who cares about the lines?
It's important. It's
okay,
a playoff series.
Go for it. Line winger is going to be, I think, Lemieux.
Lineup is out.
Just going to say, Hall and Krejci, you know they're together on line two.
Right.
And I think that's a factor in the series.
Who's going to be the left wing?
Hall is the left wing.
Oh, who's the right wing?
Craig Smith.
I like Craig Smith.
He's been an X factor.
Yeah.
I think so. 617-779-7937. All right. Coming up, Mutz Preakness picks. You're going to watch this series. Come on. Compared to you were the one trotting out the Celtics ratings earlier in the week.
Not
Celtics, NBA. NBA.
The Bruins tonight is going to be a massive night for the Boston Bruins.
The numbers Chad Finn put out?
Yep. Big year for the ratings.
Huge year. This actually is surprising to me. With as much as sports across the board ratings-wise are down, Chad Finn tweeting yesterday, the Bruins averaged a 4.18 household rating on Nesson, highest since the 2014-15 season, up 18% over last year. People are watching it. Now the Red Sox ratings on Nesson have typically been 8s and 9s, right, when they're good,
yeah,
in a good season. So that's still half of what the Red Sox interest level is.
But those Bruins ratings skew much younger.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess that. Although, national baseball ratings have been surprisingly pretty good in the younger demos.
Baseball ratings this year in every demo is up. It's been a great start to the baseball season. The NBA has been an unmitigated disaster for ratings.
Yeah, so give me those NBA ratings, because we made a big deal of this earlier in the week on the Greg Hill Show. These were national ratings, right? And I think...
So nationally, Clay Travis at OutKick went back to 2009, and the ratings over the, I'm sorry, 2011. In the last 10 years, the NBA has lost 45% of their audience.
Yeah,
and even going back to last year, which were historically horrific,
putrid. Yeah,
they're down, I believe, 5 to 10% off of that alone.
Yep.
From last season in the bubble. So you know, there's a lot of talk that it's LeBron when he's out. You know, that's you can do whatever you want with it, but there is no sports league anywhere in the United States that has been more outspoken about activist type causes than the NBA. And there was a poll put out by the YouGov and Yahoo that I saw in a Newsweek online story from this year that said 35% of the people that have stopped watching the NBA is due to the social justice causes. So all of that adds up to a pretty big poop sandwich for the NBA.
So a third of the reason for the drop, even from last year,
right,
is due to social justice issues.
Right. And I think
this year you would agree that's not been a major like theme through the NBA. But maybe the quote unquote damage was done, I guess, for those people, that third of people who tuned out.
The issue with people at ESPN and the major networks, they're all on the coasts. They don't know anybody that voted for Donald Trump. They don't know anybody that thinks that AOC is out of her mind. you know, they don't have that other people in their life. And they provide these athletes with the platform to say whatever they speak, and they don't view it as controversial because they don't hear it as such.
I think they do view it as controversial, but I think they don't care. They feel like that's the progress that needs to be made.
You think Hannah Storm views it as controversial?
No, I mean the athletes themselves.
No, I'm talking about the people covering the NBA.
The people covering the NBA.
Like, they're stunned by this. Like, Max Kellerman, who thinks that the Fighting Irish are racist, he can't figure out why people would have a problem with this. Because they don't hang out with anybody who has, I mean, they have great diversity of African Americans and great staffing of people that represent all forms of people. But they don't have diversity of thought in any shape, way, or form. And that's what hurts them. It really does. If they had, you know, Will Cain's kind of a boob. But if they had him on one of these pregame shows, people would feel represented in the discussion. There's 75 million people who voted for him. Mm-hmm. You can't ignore them or it will kill you. And the biggest moment for me was LeBron James this year when he rushed a judgment on an Ohio police officer saying, you're next. And then,
but that caused you to stop watching the NBA?
No, I don't watch the NBA much anyway. Like, I don't really care for it. I think you could literally turn on the NBA with 2 minutes left and you wouldn't miss anything.
No, that's not true.
But what would you miss?
Well, we talked about last week that Bulls game was a second quarter meltdown. Huge second quarter.
So you find out that they melted down in the second quarter.
No, I mean, I don't think those.
You have 15 timeouts. You have 30 fouls. It's awful. It is a horrible product.
But as far as time goes, it's a two-hour watch. It's not like you're sitting down for three-plus
baseball.
Right,
and at halftime you get a dissertation of why America's racist.
No, Perk's on at halftime. He's the best part of the Celtics game.
Or I like when Abichin cries.
All right, but regardless, and the Celtics numbers have got to be tough, too. I don't know if those have been published, but this has been such a disappointing year. People have just checked out now.
Even during, let's say the Bruins and Celtics are the same in terms of where they are in the standings, the Bruins always rate higher.
Yeah.
And this year, I think the Celtics, I haven't seen them. My presumption is that they're down big time.
I mean, Bruins are going to definitely roll, and tonight will be a huge spot. 617-779-7937. Mutz Preakness picks coming up at 6:45. Let's get in Mike and Framingham talking, I think, back to Brady and Belichick. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? When you were talking about the ratings with the Patriots, what about when Peyton Manning went back to the Colts? Because he's going against Andrew Luck. That's a bigger draw, the two quarterbacks, as opposed to a quarterback and a coach.
Hmm. Was that rating, you're saying, was that regular season rating bigger than Brady will be?
I don't know. I'm asking you guys. That seems to be a bigger draw nationally.
Which one?
Peyton went back to the Colts.
Yeah,
nationally, this is going to be a much bigger rating than Peyton going back to the Colts.
Yeah, but like I said, he's going against Andrew Luck, who's supposed to be the future. No, you got Brady coming against who? Cam Newton?
But it's not who Brady's going against as a quarterback. He's going against Belichick. That's what the national story is going
to
be.
I know, but when I watch a game, I like to see the matchup. I mean, yes, I love Belichick, but as far as quarterback versus quarterback as opposed to quarterback versus coach.
Right. I think nationally, NBC does a brilliant job. They did that great Jordan ad when it was Rodgers versus Brady a couple years ago, and that game spiked a huge number. I think you're going to see Belichick, Brady, the whole week. It's going to be shoved down your throat from Monday through to Sunday night.
Yeah, but like I said, it wasn't Rodgers against Belichick's defense. It was Rodgers against Brady.
I know, but that's how they market it. That's why it's going to do a bigger number than Peyton, even though that was against Andrew Luck, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that, but that's not going to draw me in. I'd rather have the two quarterbacks.
Right. I don't disagree.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Did they play multiple times, Luck and Peyton?
I honestly don't remember that at all, to be candid. I don't remember that being a huge national storyline.
At this point, I don't either, but just thinking about it, like that is a better quarterback matchup, obviously, than Cam is going to be. But Bill takes the place in that particular case. Let's go to Jimmy in New Hampshire. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning to you guys. Hey, Curtis, you just nailed something by saying there's like 1,000 fouls and there's 1,000 timeouts a game in the NBA. It really, I'm hoping that what comes out of this lower, views on TV and the ratings drop is that we'll get a better product moving forward. I've said for years, you should lower the number of fouls each player has in the NBA down to 5. You need to get rid of all these timeouts, maybe 3 per game per team. But the most important thing, guys, and you must both be irritated as heck as I am watching games, how did we ever get by, for all these years without instant replay? It is the worst thing that I've ever seen. Why can't they just change all these things to what I just said? And then, like, we'd all be happy and the ratings would be better.
Jimmy, it's a great call. And I would compare the NBA replay with baseball, like those two specifically. Both are games.
I know they're bad, but I have to tell myself when they happen, like, I know I'm pissed off at this, but it's better than the alternative.
No.
I say that to myself over and over again.
It is not.
It is. You don't want to miss call. It's so frustrating.
Okay. I believe that there can and should be a system by which we employ this on a much, much, much more discernible basis where we say, okay, we need to know whose fingertip this ball came off of in its fourth quarter, under 2 minutes, but every other stage.
Mutt bets on every single game. Like, this matters to Mutt. Mutt would be
okay.
You have to get these calls right.
I hate to break it to you, NBA and Adam Silver. You got Mutt. Okay, he's hooked. He's not leaving. So the degenerates are not going to turn the game off. They have too much invested in it.
That's a fair point, actually.
So you need to do this for, you know, your wife or my, you know, mom or, you know, somebody that's passing by the game and isn't interested in it. The Red Sox opening week, they had a bunch of day games for whatever reason.
Well, the Minnesota games.
Right, the Minnesota games. There were a couple times it was like 7-1.
It was bad.
It was like a 4-minute replay at first base.
It was like a wiggy lead.
You know what you could do in that situation? I really believe this because that's a good point. But you have, I think these players want to make sure they get the hit, right? They don't want to lose out on a hit because they're all selfish baseball players.
Yes.
So post game, you can have the replay and you can say, yep, that was a hit.
Yep, you could do that. But then that might have affected the game in a significant way.
Right, you have to live with that. But it's 7-1. Okay, so you have to get rid of it today. Nobody wants to watch these idiot umpires surrounded by each other, not even looking at anything. There's somebody in New York who's looking at it. At least let us see the people in New York see what they're looking at as a TV consumer.
617-779-7937. Danny and Quincy is lined up. Can the audience take another week of Curtis v. Danny?
I'm just going to sit it out.
That's a lie. That would be like 10 straight weeks. This is like, you know, Manning and Luck 4. That's coming up. Also, Mutt's Preakness picks at 6:45. Let's get the trending real quick.
This is WEEI. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I was mocked in the classroom.
Attacked on the bus.
Pushed down on the sidewalk.
We are
your neighbors.
Fathers and sons.
Mothers, daughters.
Girl Scouts and Little Leaguers.
We are
the so-called quiet, docile ones.
We live in fear, but hide behind soft smiles.
We are being targeted, attacked, killed.
We are
the Asian community.
And we are hurting.
Stand with us.
Follow #StopAsianHate today.
Nya, nya, nya. Ba, ba, Babwe, Zimbabwe. The broken Bunsen burner burns so bright. South.
Jamie.
Southeast Asian Peninsula.
Hey, Jamie.
Yes.
I think the only line we need from you today is drivers who switch to Progressive could save big.
Cool. I just got to finish my warm-ups. Foul. Throw in the towel. History.
Switch to Progressive today.
Santa ski slalom in a salmon skin suit.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Brought to you by Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Capital One Shopping, what's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons vary.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Just 10 minutes away from Mutt's picks, which may win you money. Likely won't, but may win you money. He was off on his Derby picks, Curtis, but then again, Medina Spirit cheated, so it's not Mutt's fault. Maybe.
No, but there's nothing I enjoy more than rooting against Mutt's horses.
You actually do?
Yeah.
I actually lost $25 on his bets, on his picks last time.
Oh, no. I don't bet anything. I just, whatever he picks, I just, because on the old show, we would get the audio from his, like, hour-long Preakness podcast with Dick's picks and Bill's picks, and he was always wrong, and it was great.
Yeah. By the way, this poll I put up is still on fire. It's one of my best works, which is, you know, faint praise, but that's the layered existence.
A Saturday poll.
Saturday poll, and a great day out there, by the way. It's just perfect in Boston right now.
So nice.
This is the best. And last night, curtain call, Red Sox are back, 10,000. You are reporting that Baker's going to announce Monday, by the way, 100% capacity by the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, if vaccinated.
Correct. Well, I don't know that, but this is my take. It's a hot one. A nice day in Boston is better than any place on the face of the earth.
I tend to agree. May is awesome. As long as the allergies, that's the thing. It's been a rough allergy
Allergies
season.
Have been brutal, yes.
Okay, which former Boston athlete's success leaves a worse taste in your mouth? Which former Boston athlete's success leaves a worse taste in your mouth? Your options are Kyrie, Tom Brady, Mookie Betts, Zdeno Chara.
And Mutt.
Obviously, has Mutt had success? Chara's last place by far. Kyrie Irving is ahead of Brady, 36% to 35%.
I don't even understand that. So people miss Kyrie more than Brady?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yes. Now, probably this is like recency bias because the Celtics have been in such disarray that people are now agreeing with Wiggy and regretting Kyrie not being here. And I know you said, Kyrie, what success has he had? But they are the favorites. The big three are going to play tonight for the Nets. They're probably going to get the Celtics in the first round if Boston wins the play-in game, which maybe they won't. They'll sweep the Celtics, right? I mean, Kyrie will totally embarrass them.
Well, like, you got
what kind of question is that?
Well, I mean, let's say they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and then Kyrie joins Scientology and has to miss a month.
Which is also getting 15% of the vote. That happening. Yeah, okay, but so Brady, 30, people miss Kyrie more than Brady.
It's okay.
Again, to my point, people are turning on Brady.
I guess it's the prime versus the non-prime, but that defies any form of logic whatsoever.
Mookie winning didn't really bother me. I don't know why. I like Mookie, but him winning with the Dodgers, maybe it was because it was kind of a joke year.
No,
I
rooted for that because I wanted the Red Sox ownership group to look bad.
All right, you want to predict what Danny's argument is going to be before he comes on?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a good new game.
He's going to scream about last week's call. So first, I'm going to set up a ground rule. When you call into the show, if you're Danny or anybody else, you don't cite prior calls. You begin with a fresh call and don't waste our time.
All right. Tom Brady's a piece of crap.
Number two, he's going to talk about Tom Brady Sr. and take your angle that this is Brady's true thoughts.
Which is accurate.
And then he's going to call him a piece of crap and he's going to yell.
Okay. Danny from Quincy.
I was going to say, nothing really beats Tampa Bay in July and August. Much better than Boston. I mean, Tampa Bay, July and August. Oh, we'll see if that puss face is sitting in his air-conditioned house down there or he's in California. We'll see. All right? Curtis, I love how now the Patriots have an easy schedule, right? Now, this is the rumblings I'm hearing now about the sycophant Brady people. Nobody had an easier schedule last year than Tom Brady. Right, and then he had all the referees in the league in his pocket. 24 pass interference calls in his favor last year. He almost averaged two a game.
Good point.
Is 24 the number of bounced passes Cam Newton had last year?
Brady threw his share in the ground the year before. Go back and count how many balls Brady threw on the ground.
It was a really easy schedule in the playoffs. Yeah. It was Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and then Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that was a really easy schedule to win the Super Bowl.
24 pass interference calls in his favor.
Yeah, 24 are the people listening to you right now because they turn your radio off and they hear your voice.
Yeah, the most of any. See, you got to go personal. When you lose an argument with me every week, you got to go personal, Curtis. Okay. You can't. The most of any quarterback.
If you had a radio show, I would stay as far away from it as possible.
Stop getting personal. He's right. Stop that.
What's just personal? Can't stick to the eye. I mean, you got to go. I know I have you when you go personal. That's fine, though.
You haven't won an argument in your life, Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. 24 pass interference. The most of any quarterback since 1985, including a Hail Mary in the end zone. And the chick referee in the Super Bowl throws three of them. The chick that named her kid after Tom Brady. You told me Goodell didn't have it in for Brady last year?
I forgot about that.
Goodell wanted Brady to win?
Once he left the Patriots, he wasn't public enemy number one anymore. Belichick's always been public enemy number one.
Well, then why do you destroy the tapes, Danny?
Yeah, you bring up Tom Jackson last week. What a friggin' Tom Jackson, they hate their coach. And then Belichick shoved it right up his keister with not only one Super Bowl that year. After he traded Lawyer Malloy, they got beat 30-10.
It was 31-0, Einstein.
Year. Those are the two best Patriot teams in their history.
It was 31-0.
They were 3-0 in the 04.
And then they beat the Bills 31-0 in the first game and last game. But go on.
Yeah, they beat.
Yeah, you're right. And that's when Jackson came out and said, you said last week that Jackson hasn't talked to Belichick in 20 years. Yeah, Belichick ruined his career. He never heard from him again.
Tom Jackson was hosting primetime through like 2015. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, he was never the same after that.
How? He still had his job, the same job.
Yeah, and by the way, why doesn't anybody bring Tom Brady's offensive lineup? I hear how his defense played well. They did. And the receivers, brick wall for an offensive line. Six straight games, he didn't get touched.
The beginning of the year last year, Danny, if you watch the games, the offensive line was not very good. They played great at the end of the year, but they did not play well.
Six straight games leading into the Washington game.
I don't know what your point is.
I'm trying to point out the fact that we're going down this easy. Patriots have an easy schedule.
Well, do you think they have an easy schedule, Danny?
Tom Brady's got a tough road. And by the way,
Danny, do you think the Patriots have an easy schedule?
I don't know what's easy and what's tough.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I disagree with them on one thing, by the way. I don't think Belichick is public enemy number one nationally. That's just not true. It is Brady. Brady is more hated than Bill. I'm telling you, in a lot of places, Belichick is respected at least. People view him as a cheater, sort of, but he's also respected as he's just a good football coach. He is. Brady, because of the prima donna image, is hated more in places where he's ripped titles away from with his play on the field. So I don't think Goodell wanted Brady to win.
I don't think why would Goodell?
No, I don't agree with
the
that.
The best story last year is Mahomes getting his second.
Yep.
And then you have a legitimate battle with Brady.
Yep.
I don't know. My issue with Danny is that he calls with all these random things.
Good factoids.
But what's his central point?
Well, he just said at the end, I forget what it was. 860 text. You're misinterpreting your poll results. Everybody hates Kyrie, so therefore they hate to see him do well, whereas people still like Brady, so it doesn't leave a sour taste in some people's mouth. I guess that's a good point, actually.
Back
to my poll. Why Kyrie is winning my poll.
Yeah.
He's just so despised. People hate to see him do well. That's probably going to happen.
Okay.
You ready for Mutt?
Oh, I'm jacked and pumped for Mutt.
All right. Will Medina Spirit win? Who's Mutt's pick? He gives it to you next. Win some money at the Preakness. Preakness number 146, the Mutt Man. And then Ben Volen, his final spring football hour with us, noon to one, coming up on the Ken and Curtis Show.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
It's time for the Mutt Man on the Harbor One Hotline. Preakness today, 6:50 post time, I believe, Chris Curtis. And Mutt knows horse racing. He knows Triple Crown winners. And although his Preakness, his Derby picks were not great, but Mutt, in your defense, there was a cheater in the mix. Medina Spirit popped for steroids. Very controversial. So, I don't know. Would your horse have run first or no? It was like third place.
No, he was still third. I would need two DQs to get up for first. No, he ran third. Not a bad third. What's up, boys?
He hung in there. How are you?
How is Medina in this thing? Why are they letting this horse race?
Due process, Curtis. He's not officially, I guess, technically guilty yet until the second. I think we learned this with Lance Armstrong. The split sample. There's a second sample. It's got to be confirmed. And then if that goes as expected, he will be DQ'd from the Derby. Mandelon will be the Derby winner, and racing will have another big black eye. So there you go.
And I've heard a lot of Bob Baffert on this, but I haven't heard Medina speak. Is the horse going to talk before the race?
I'll tell you what, it's kind of ridiculous, right? Like, for a long time, you made the point, Curtis. I heard you make it, and you were right. Where was Bob Kraft all offseason? Where's Medina Spirit? Let's go. Get in front of a microphone and tell us what happened. He's hiding from the press, quite frankly.
If a horse can do it, why can't people do it?
Well, actually, Baffert's not there at the Preakness, right? At least this morning, SportsCenter was talking to the assistant trainer. He's ducking.
Yeah, this is like when Julio Lugo would make an error, cost the Red Sox a game, and not talk to the media. All the other guys had to answer it. Jimmy Barnes, the poor assistant trainer, is like, you got to talk to Bob. He's 3,000 miles away hiding in California. What a joke.
Yeah, he's watching the race with Belichick today.
He probably is. That was the big pre-Derby scene with those guys, yeah.
But there's another Baffert horse in the Preakness today, right? Concert Tour.
Yes, and going into today, I would tell you I had no interest in Concert Tour, but they have souped up this track, boys. The way Pimlico has played the last day and a half, you've got to be on the front end, you've got to be speed, and so I think both Bob Baffert horses have a really good shot at winning. I wish I had something more exciting to say about the Preakness, but...
Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? They've souped up the track, and you've got to be...
So the last day and a half, including the couple races today on the dirt, basically every winner on the dirt has come as a horse that's been speed, Ken, or been towards the rail. Outside closers, anything closing, has had no shot. The two dirt races today have gone essentially wire to wire. And sometimes tracks get like this. They like to make the tracks faster on big days so get big buyer speed figures and good race times. And right now it looks like we have an inside speed bias at Pimlico. That's what it looks like.
Okay, so who's the favorite?
Medina Spear. This is where, again, this is boring. What? He was 9-5, right, as the Derby favorite, or the Derby winner, technically, for now. He's 3-1 right now in the betting. He is way too big a price. I had no interest in betting Medina Spirit going into the week, but if he's 3-1 on a track that's favoring speed, he and Concert Tour, the two Bafferts, Ken, and you're a horse guy. You lost a lot of money this pandemic betting horses.
Yep.
These are the two speeds, the best chance to win. It is boring, but based on the way the track is playing, I'm going to be floored if a Bob Baffert horse does not win. With the Preakness in 5 hours, whatever it is.
All right, a couple others that I've seen in the mix. Midnight Bourbon, number 5.
Is the favorite right now, also has speed, also should be used prominently. And I think people are betting him because they're taking like an anti-Bob Baffert stance, and he's the best logical option.
Or it might be a pro-Bourbon stance.
I mean, could be. I would not know anything about that, Chris. As you know, I'm not pro-Bourbon.
By the way, who's Mattress Mac buying? Who's he betting on?
I don't know, but that was actually, Curtis, that was good for racing. Like, they had this great guy. He's basically the Jordan's Furniture of Houston. He's on TV, very charitable guy. I thought that was good for the sport on Derby when he's betting $4 million on a horse.
I mean, it brought me to the TV, so it certainly did that. And I think Unbridled Honor is with the muddled up track, I think that one's going to win today.
Yeah, I know. You texted me that earlier. I'm not going to go there. Todd Pletcher did. He did get announced to the Hall of Fame last week, so there could be some Todd Pletcher karma there, but I'm not betting that horse.
Sorry, one more thing on this with Medina Spirit. So did you say when we'll find out about the second drug test?
They said 2 to 3 weeks the split sample comes back.
Okay, so let's say Medina wins today.
Yep.
What happens then? So it's how many weeks till Belmont from today?
3 weeks from today. So we should know before then. So in a scenario where it comes back negative, he will technically be going for a Triple Crown. If it comes back positive, he gets DQ'd, and there'll be no Triple Crown on the line no matter what happens today because the Derby runner-up, Mandalown, who might be announced the Derby winner, decided not to run in this race for some reason.
Wow. And do you think this is – it's my belief that this will bring people to the race tonight.
I think the rating will be spectacular.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what people want. They want to know if the juiced-up horse or whatever. They want to know if he wins. So I think there'll be more eyes on it. And I think they'll be more interested in it, not for a great reason for racing, because the sport looks embarrassing based on this. But, yes, I think they'll do a good rating today. You're the TV ratings guru, so if you say it, it must be
true. Wiggy says 200 million are going to watch it today. So that'll be big.
I give you credit. I heard that driving the boys to school, and you held back.
Said
200 million.
By the way, crab cakes. What's Jess cooking? What do you got? Are you at home watching this today? Big
we're home. We're home today, fresh off a tough. And I got to tell you, Ken, a very tough. I wish you were there with your scorebook. Tough Major C loss this morning for the Diamondbacks.
Oh,
Lupin Field in Chelmsford.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
It's a tough game. Good. They rallied. They scored 5 in the final inning, but did not go their way early. A little sleepy for the 9 a.m. start time. So now, Curtis, what do we have going? We have homemade crab cakes, which are already in the fridge, chilling and firming up. Because you got them firmed up before you put them on the skillet later on.
Yep.
For the first time, I used to buy ribs and warm them up. I bought a fresh rack of ribs unflavored. So this morning, I took some rubbed them in. I got them in two different cooking tins. I'm going to grill ribs for the first time on the grill. Huge rack of ribs. I'm going to split it up into two different cooking tins. We got the crab cakes, the ribs, burgers, dogs, some sweet cornbread. It's going to be a very nice Preakness after. I'm more excited about the food than I am the race.
Well, the Graham loves ribs, so make sure you get a shot of you grilling those up.
What's the exotic, Mud? I need the exotic. Give me the play.
You're exotic, Ken. You're very exotic. Did you take your mask off today yet?
Mask is off. I'm fully vaccinated.
That's very
Courtney
exotic.
Cox said I'm toast. Not
what did she call it? She called you interesting? Did I see that?
Interesting and, toast.
Yeah, interesting is a bad. That's
that's not good.
If a woman, Curtis knows, she won't call you interesting.
He's got a great personality. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the way the track is playing, Ken, this is really boring. The key for me, the horse I picked on the podcast, Winners Club podcast, available now on iTunes and hidden very deep somewhere on WEEI.com. Crowded Trade is the number four horse for Chad Brown. Yeah. Chad Brown won this race in 2017 with a horse named Cloud Computing, my last winner I picked. He was 13-1. He won the Preakness. Crowded Trade has the exact same PPs. One is maiden race, and then second and third is next to same form cycle. Chad Brown wants to win this race. His owner, Klarovich, is a partner of the Red Sox. He likes to win this race. He won it with Cloud Computing. He's going to be 7 or 8 to 1. The key to my day is getting Crowded Trade either to win or run second and third with the Bob Bafferts. That is now my big day, is keying the four.
Wow.
Crowded Trade at 7 or 8 to 1 to hit the board. He hits the board with the Bob Bafferts. It's a. I wish I had a better take on this. It's not interesting. It's boring.
So three, but the way the track is playing. 3-4-10 is the
3-4-10 would be my X. I had the 5 earlier. He's being bet too much. 3-4-10 and the long shot, Ken, is the 2. The long shot's the 2.
What about Big A? Your guy Big A likes Rombauer, the 12-1 6 horse.
No,
are we gonna go through every horse?
Yeah,
okay. I don't like Rombauer. Okay. You're a big A guy. He's I'm not.
Said he won on turf and synthetic. He thought it might translate. Maybe not. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
He's
whatever.
Only in this. He qualified. You get a free trip to this race.
All right, make sure you have a short memory of the game this morning. You gotta put it past you. Get ready for the next club for the Diamondbacks.
It was tough. I mean, the kids. 9 a.m.'s early for 9-year-olds, Curtis.
Yeah,
they were ready to go.
Especially when the skipper was boozing the night before. That's a
mental
tough one.
Mental mistakes. Well, I'm the first base coach.
Oh, good. All right.
We would invite you to Stats and Southie tonight, but you're banned from Stats and Southie.
Yeah. So. What are you guys doing tonight?
Big watch party. It's my re-entry into the world.
Yeah. We are re-releasing Ken into the wild as they did in old school.
Ken, you know the only hockey bet I've made in my life was...
Capitals bet. I know it.
Our Capitals bet down at with Rhode Island, right?
It was fade the Bruins when they played Washington, but times have changed.
Are you picking the Bruins to win the series?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow, I'm so shocked.
But Volan's here, and he's a Capitals fan, too, so that's a bad mojo.
I saw someone suggest on Twitter today that get rid of the Volan hour and get a Bradford hour. I couldn't agree more. I
like
Bradford
that
baseball
okay,
hour.
See you, Mutt. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Mutt.
Crowded Trade, the four. Let's go.
All right,
goodbye.
Hey, buddy.
Four and the Bafford horses, Medina Spirit and Concert Tour. That's Mutt's Preakness picks on the Harbor One Hotline. The Ben Volan football hour, the last one. Man, I'm going to miss this. He's been good. Last week he had big-time breaking news, which went national. You and I were given the credit for it
on two
national shows. People thought Volan was us.
Yes.
But either way, it's national attention. Volan next.